morning. Today is Thursday, November the 9th. Do you guys get tomorrow off?
Technically, but we'll be in. I'll be in working.
I know. That DA just kind of cracks the whip on you all the time, doesn't she?
Oh, I think it's just the amount of work that you are signed up for. You sign up for it.
Okay. I need my note sheet back here, ladies. All right. This morning we're joined by Deputy DA. Ooh, that sounds so formal, doesn't it?
It does.
Probably too many TV shows. Candace Myers. And, oh, I know what we're going to talk about. Domestic violence.
Domestic violence, yeah.
All right. Yeah, was it Soder?
Yeah, Soderbergh.
I know of you.
You do.
I would imagine, you know, what is it, one of the TV shows talks about ripped from today's headlines?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But, holy Toledo, do we got a lot of cool stuff to, well, weird stuff to talk about that's current out there in the news media today. When you guys hear, boy, now I'm going to check off, when you ladies hear, the stuff, the goofy stuff in Hollywood, the goofy stuff with the NFL, and the reactions either that the media have or that the marketplace has, what kind of impressions do you two have?
Well, to be honest, I follow the news a bit, but I don't watch a lot of the sensational type of programming.
Well, this would be like the NFL
Sunday. I don't follow football, so I don't really have much of a reaction to that specifically. But being a prosecutor, I deal in facts and evidence, and so I try to not make any prejudgment on any active case, whether it's mine or someone else's, until I've actually heard the facts and the evidence. So I try to reserve judgment on them. But I definitely think it's a reflective of our culture and society today. And I think it's something that's coming to a head specifically in regards to domestic violence and the changes we've seen in the last, 10, 15 years.
More prevalent or more reported?
I think it's more reported today. I think it's always been an issue. It's just been kind of in the shadows. And I think that's historical. You know, you can look back and every generation, I think it comes a little bit more out of those shadows.
Lynn, how about for you? You pay attention to stuff that's gone. Do you kind of cringe and groan the way that a lot of us?
Well, it's upsetting to see it. But I think that because there's more in the media regarding higher profile people being exposed for potentially doing things, it allows people to feel more comfortable to report, to come forward and say, like they say now, Me Too.
Yeah, which is, so, I guess, a whole different level of frustration for some of us.
Yeah. And the issue is this something that someone is getting on the bandwagon about and they want to report it, or is it something that their issues are different and they want to just kind of like say, yeah, it was Me Too, but maybe not so much. But the way we start it is to believe the victim and then let the evidence show where we can go with it. We don't want to put anybody's revealing of an incident that happened to them and say, oh, it's just because you want to get some limelight. That's kind of not fair to victims.
Well, to anybody.
That's true.
But there does certainly seem to be with some of the starlets. Oh, yeah, 48 years ago, then you can almost sense that some of them, at least how it's being reported, some legit, yeah, right. But, I think my wife was saying, Ange was saying yesterday, somebody looked at me funny. And it's like, well, okay. You know, you got that continuum of what is normal, what is acceptable, what is, I think we've all probably been in that situation where you kind of go,
Yeah, okay, but there's stuff behind it, too, and they call it the casting couch for a reason.
The what?
The casting couch.
Oh,
for a reason.
Celtic couch.
No, no.
Oh, really? What is this?
No. The casting couch for a reason.
Right.
And the normalization of that process that has been experienced by women and men for a long, long time. And so,
since Hollywood, right?
Well, yeah, and before. Yeah. So the idea that power and control by people that are in charge over others, and the way that they do that tends to, you know, stifle people's exposure of it. And so later on, when they become more comfortable, they'll talk about it, and what they talk about maybe look like it's minimalized, like the person looked at me funny. Maybe it's more than that. We just have to see what, you know, they can express. And like Candace is talking about, needing for court purposes, needing evidence for that.
So that'd be a toughie, huh?
Well, there's no crime associated with just a look. So, yeah, you know, it can be uncomfortable and it can be, you know, uncouth in society, but it certainly doesn't rise to the level of a crime if that's all you have.
Well, and as you were indicating, depending on the setting, I mean, if it's in a bar or walking on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Okay, but if it's, we're doing interviews for raises,
right.
Different dynamic at work there.
Correct.
Okay. The I guess glorification would be, I think, the proper term of athletes and of celebrity, you know, Hollywood and that kind of stuff. Does that make it more difficult to find a norm in society? Or does it make it easier to say everybody has to act within the bounds of societal norm?
Well, I certainly think everyone needs to act in accordance with the law, and no one has a right to touch anyone else in a harmful manner. I, like I said, I don't really watch a lot of the, you know, media coverage.
You know, it's challenging for everybody. Yeah, it's also 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Candace Myers and Lynn Sunderberg from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office, which comes together in Lincoln. The shooting that happened, was it only been 5 days ago?
Yeah, Sunday.
In Texas. More disturbing because it was a small little town? Or, here we go, just another flavor of the same old thing.
Well, I think it's definitely more devastating to the people in that community because, you know, what was it, 10% was reported of their population?
Yeah, 50% were in the church.
Yeah, so I think that if you're in a bigger metropolitan area and something happens, it's devastating. But whenever you personally know, like all the victims in that, I think it's definitely going to have even more of a traumatic event impact on everyone in that town. So I think it's also, you know, we live in a small community, and so I think the impact.
It'd be like Oregon.
Well, yeah. Well, you get a sense of security when you live in a small community because you know so many people, you regularly see people, and maybe that sense of security is a little bit false, I mean, it's devastating either way, no matter where it hits, but I can definitely see that town is going to be impacted to a you know, untelling degree.
Yeah. Lynn, how about you? You kind of played in that arena a little bit more.
Right. The issues of what's going on, like the, you know, we hear about it more and more and more. The media lets us know what's going on, and to an extreme detail of it's hours and hours and hours of exposure on it when they talk about every minute detail that's going on. And it's important to learn. And one of the biggest things that they want to get to, the law enforcement wants to get to, is why. Why did this happen? And, you know, I'm not going to talk about gun laws or restrictions or anything like that, but why? What leads somebody to do that, and what's in that person's history?
Just the inkling that that might be a possibility.
Right.
Just so foreign for so many of us.
Yeah, and they talk about people who commit mass murders are wanting to one-up the next, the one before them, to be the worst.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like bragging.
Yeah, it's a base, like, and they go out with that, you know, in the moments, whether they survive it or whether they die afterwards, which oftentimes the person that does that either kills himself or is killed. Some survive. But the idea of, you know, they're trying to get more and more and more than before, because they, whatever that psyche is, whatever's going on in their head. But what we find is that oftentimes people who do commit these mass shootings, these active shooters, there happens to be a pretty high percentage that have had a domestic violence background, where they have been the batterer. Some have come from abusive families, some haven't.
So violence is kind of a norm?
Well, it's a way of power and control. You know, it's not about the, you know, it's taking power and control, and that's ultimate, to go into, especially like into a church, to a place where someone feels comfortable and safe, and to take that power and control over that entire group. And, you know, his previous partner, the family that he was, you know, essentially potentially targeting, wasn't even there. But it's a message. It's I am in charge. It's a power and control thing. And
as much as a violence thing?
That's the method to show it. Oftentimes, power and control doesn't have to be violent. It could be how they treated controlling finances, controlling children, denying, blaming the victim for what's going on. Those are types of things that are in what we call the power and control wheel of ways that a batterer takes power and control over. Also physical, emotional, mental abuse.
Just an abuser, yeah.
An abuser. But they use all those tactics.
You're starting to sound like Quimby, you know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So but I also think that it seems to me that, you know, looking at the pattern of behavior of a batterer and then moving on to someone that does these mass murders, the pattern is, I think they almost go to school for it, because they have, it's very, very common. And you can take talk with a victim who has survived a domestic abuse situation, show them a power and control wheel that has the dynamics of power and control on it regarding those types of abuses, those types of controls. And they'll look at it, and there's a list of words that are in there about what it is, and they'll look at the piece of paper, and we ask them, well, mark down which applies to you. And they go, did you write this for me? No, it was written Duluth 20-something years ago. It shows that this is a common way of being.
Is it a mental weakness? Or is it a learned?
It's often learned. It's often learned behavior. It's not, I used to say that it's multi-generational, but it's not hereditary. So it often comes from either witnessing or being abused, witnessing abuse in the family or being abused. And some people that use this power control maybe not have come from an abusive family. It's not consistent that way, but oftentimes there's a history of it somewhere.
Boy, that's got to be challenging, Candace, working one of these types of cases. Now, granted, you haven't had two, so that's cool, but I think from the prosecution side or from the defense side, this is a whole different critter.
They're definitely some of the most challenging cases to work. You know, have victims who, this is their lives. They're extremely emotionally impacted by what's going on.
As is the community also.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lynn Soderberg and Candace Myers from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Candace has the title. Lynn's Lynn.
Well, Lynn's our one of our investigators.
I know, but you know her from so many other areas.
Good or bad, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it just is. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. What kind of impressions do the two of you sense that media plays in some of this stuff? Lynn, you mentioned it in the last segment about the one-upsmanship. Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody's pretty familiar with Columbine.
Right.
I couldn't tell you who the kid was if my life depended on it. Now, you guys probably do because that's your neighborhood.
I can't recall their names, actually, but I know there are two of them.
Yeah, McVeigh, I remember from the bombing. Yeah. And then, you know, so the personal, you know, 15 minutes of fame thing. I mean, if that's really the driving force, that's kind of goofy. The power thing, I think most of us understand that.
I can't begin to understand the inner workings of an individual who commits these kind of atrocities, to be honest. I think I'm with a lot of other people who we really struggle to try to piece together a motive. And I think part of the problem with that is that most of us are thinking in a very logical way, logical format, but people who commit these type of crimes, I don't think are thinking from a logical place.
So how do you deal with these, you know, short of taking a 4x6 and wailing on them in there in the courtroom?
Well, and I don't know that that's the answer.
But you're talking, so I still am in favor of public stockades for certain offenses, you know, shaming and all that kind of stuff. But how do you keep your emotional boundaries in play and focus on what's at hand instead of being a little bit more emotionally connected and doing things that you probably don't want to do?
Well, I mean, there's a balance between being emotionally vested in your cases and protecting yourself because, you know, you have to have boundaries in order to do this job. But I think, you know, I always try to act in a very professional way. I have a very high standard of ethics, and I always, go back to what is my ethical code, and I don't.
So that's your grounding point.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you don't do it the right way, then that person's going to win. I mean, as far as their negativity goes, if in law enforcement, if you cut corners, if you violate someone's rights, that gets exposed, and what the ramifications is that the case goes away, or you lose your job, or whatever. But the idea is that you don't want to, you know, become the vigilante yourself, or become the problem yourself, because you're not going to help anybody else. Mm-hmm. If someone is afforded rights, then that's their right. If you're, you know, the Miranda rights, or the right to an attorney, or the right to a good trial.
Or cultural foundation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you go against that because you're, you know, overly connected or emotional regarding what's occurred, or outraged about what's occurred, then your effectiveness is not going to be there. And it's just going to make it worse.
So how do you vent those emotions? Because, I mean, everybody's got them to one extent or another. Is that the walking on the beach part of the program?
Yeah, I mean, I think you find whatever works for you to relax and kind of unwind, you know.
Take a day off, perhaps.
Maybe when you're able to, you know, whatever it is that you enjoy, a hobby. You just got to find whatever works for you to keep that balance and keep yourself, you know, not getting burnt out.
Lynn, you've spent a couple years playing the game, so to speak.
A few, yeah.
Do you, with others, do you see it kind of building up to a point where you'll get involved and say, hey, let's go for lunch. Let's take a break. Go walk around the building.
Yeah.
Go pull a weed. Do something.
Yeah. If you see that somebody is getting kind of wound up in it, or it's starting to affect them, it is important to say, "Hey, time to take a break and let's work this out." And for law enforcement, I think that being able to express how you're feeling about something, because the terribleness that you see, those officers that were at Newtown, the officers that went to that church this last, they are so affected by it, as well as the community. And to have to work and do your job amongst what they're seeing is terrible. So, yeah, you have to take a break. You've got to, if someone can't see it in you, you got to go. And so you got to tap out, basically saying it's time to take a break.
And having team members?
Absolutely. We feed things off of each other all the time and work out the problems.
Do you use Nerf balls?
Good idea.
Do you want to? KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Candace Myers, Deputy DA, and Lynn Soderberg. I guess I better say the full title. Domestic Violence
Investigator.
Investigator. Yeah. Oh, your handwriting's kind of like mine.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It looked like Invigorator.
Well,
and
I
didn't think that would be an appropriate one.
I am an Invigorator in the office, yes.
Sometimes.
So with all the stuff that's out there, whether it's in the news or not, whether you see it personally or not, people talk about it, and people are influenced and changed by it. If you had the pixie dust pile, how would you push back? If there was two things you could do to say, okay, if we did these things, maybe there's not a cessation from, but at least maybe we're not going to see as much prevalence of some of these acts, whether it's driving trucks on sidewalks or guns in churches or some of these, you know, airplanes into buildings. I mean, the full spectrum.
I don't know if I'm qualified to make any sort of, I think that I don't have enough education
Let Lynn answer first, and then you come in on hers, and you sound like a champ.
Well, you know, you have to get back to the root of what caused it, and that's what we're all trying to figure out. And, you know, if you go into, like, sexualized violence in schools, a lot of things that they're doing now is bystander intervention. To snip it in the beginning, to say that's not appropriate, that's not okay. I think that in...
So small, simple...
Small things.
Line, boundaries.
Boundaries and saying, and having other people... speak up for others. That can help with the bullying that's happening in the communities, or you know, where when someone may not be able to speak up for themselves, someone else does, and does it in a way that is not demeaning to the person who's speaking inappropriately or acting inappropriately, but just say, "Hey, not okay."
More of an informative.
More of thing. More education. I think that things are so intertwined as to why this is going on. Is it a mental health issue? Is it a drug use issue? Is it a violence in the family issue? What caused it? And to be able to address those things early on, to where people become less need for the power and control and less affected by whatever the issues are. But that takes a lot of resources and a lot of people, you know, the community stepping in. And
paying attention, kind of.
Yeah, and what we're doing now is responding to the aftermath. And trying to, it's important when you respond to after the outcome of what's happening, is that taking care of the people that saw that to understand the trauma that they're going through. Because sometimes folks that go through extreme traumas then have other issues down the road. So it's important to take care of it. Early on, in schools, education, in families, taking care of that, and then hopefully not desensitizing folks by the overwhelming exposure to it. I mean, when I was growing up, we had, you know, news at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night and maybe 8 o'clock in the morning, and that was it. You had a news cycle. A newspaper came out once a day, and now it's ongoing. And not to say that's the cause of any of it. It's not an excuse that people see it a lot, so that's why they're doing it. But a lot of people are affected by it. They're informed by it, too. There's a good thing for understanding what's going on in the community and being able to understand this is an issue. So I just look at saying, you know, more people getting involved when they see small things happening to affect the changes would be my pixie dust.
All right, Candace.
Well, I think that there's, like I said, you have to, everyone has a different cause for why they do what they do. Just broadly in society, I think that, you know, I kind of see, and I don't know if this is any specific event or example, but I just see less people spending time with their families and having parents really actively involved their kid. And I think it has to be loving discipline and those combination because it ultimately really isn't the school's job.
Ladies, thanks for coming by.
Thank you much.
See everybody tomorrow.